The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the March-April issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. And we're going to go right to Who's Who in Sports on page 8 and the second line. Rachel Fairbanks, Pitt Panthers setter. Her height is 6 feet. She was born July 5th, 2003 in her hometown, Tustin, California. Named a first-team All-American, Fairbanks helped Pitt advance to the NCAA volleyball semifinals for the third consecutive year. The junior led the team with 933 assists and added 190 digs as the Panthers finished the season 29-5. Fairbanks was the 2023 ACC Co-Scholar Athlete of the Year. Did you know Pitt was ousted from the NCAA tournament by Nebraska, which earlier in the season drew 92,003 fans for an outdoor game against Omaha? Christian McCaffrey, San Francisco 49ers running back. His height is 5'11". His weight is 205 pounds. Born June 7, 1996, hometown, Castle Rock, Colorado. After a season in which he rushed for an NFL-best 1,459 yards, McCaffrey was named the league's Offensive Player of the Year. He also caught 67 passes for 564 yards as the 49ers advanced to the Super Bowl. McCaffrey began his career with the Carolina Panthers, becoming the third player to amass 1,000 yards rushing and receiving in 2019. Did you know, though, McCaffrey's dad, Ed, won a Super Bowl with the 49ers in 1995? And finally, Damian Lillard, Milwaukee Bucks guard. His height is 6'2". His weight is 195 pounds. He was born July 15, 1990, hometown, Oakland, California. In his first season with the Bucks, Lillard was named an All-Star for the 8th time in his career. Through 50 games, he was averaging 24.6 points per game and 6.7 assists per game. Prior to the season, Lillard was traded to Milwaukee from Portland, where he twice averaged at least 30 points per game. Did you know, though, Lillard wears the number 0 on his jersey? As a tribute to his hometown of Oakland, as well as Ogden, Utah, where he played in college, and Oregon, where he starred for the Trailblazers for 11 seasons. Football, happy trails. The gridiron world said goodbye to three iconic coaches over the offseason. But for how long? Football coaches tend to have a hard time letting go. Think about it. They work countless hours a day breaking down film, looking for ways to upgrade their roster and managing players. Then, when the day is over, they often sleep on an office couch so they can get right back at it bright and early the next morning. A lot of men who have tried to walk away have had a hard time staying away. Consider Paul Brown. For 17 seasons, he was the coach of the Cleveland Browns, and yes, they're named after him. He won 4 championships in the old America Football Conference and 3 in the NFL. He was fired in 1963 and inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1967. Not only was his legacy cemented, but he was still on the Browns' payroll, so he was cashing a paycheck for hanging out and playing golf. Then, in 1968, at the age 60, he came back to become the coach of the expansion Cincinnati Bengals. "Why? I was eating my heart out," he said at the time. "Football had been my life. I had a strong desire to become alive again." He's not the only great to make a return. Joe Gibbs, who won 3 Super Bowls with Washington, returned to the team in 2004, which was 11 years after he retired. Dick Vermeil came out of retirement after a 15-year hiatus in 1997 and ultimately led the Rams to a Super Bowl victory. The list goes on. So forgive us if we expect to see more of three legendary coaches who left the sidelines following the 2023 season. Nick Saban retired from Alabama. Bill Belichick parted ways with the New England Patriots. And Pete Carroll was bumped to the front office by the Seahawks. What do their futures hold? Saban, 72, would be a natural as a television commentator. Belichick, 71, who was rumored to be in the running for the Atlanta Falcons job, seems the most likely to make a quick return. We can't imagine him just hanging out at the beach without drawing up plays in the sand. The energetic 72-year-old Carroll, who was known for playing pranks on his players and engaging them in snowball fights, seems the most likely to have some fun now that he's not coaching. At least not for now. Go figure. Seven NCAA national titles Saban won in his career, the most of any coach. He took LSU to its first championship in 2003, then won six at Alabama. 15 victories Belichick needs to become the winningest coach in NFL history. He has 333 wins, while Hall of Famer Don Shula has 347. Three coaches who have won an NCAA title and a Super Bowl: Carroll, Jimmy Johnson, and Barry Switzer. Won't get fooled again. Gullible is written in this headline. April Fool's Day is right around the corner, which inevitably means bogus internet articles. Take this quiz to test your ability to spot jokes. Which Sports Illustrated Super Bowl commemorative cover has been altered? Ooh, the one on the left or the one on the right? Hope you get it right. Number two, what was the Texas Rangers slogan in last year's playoff? Was it A, go and take it? B, our team, our time? C, Lone Star Proud? D, really hope we win the World Series after we spent all that money on free agents? Answer to number one. Let's see. It was A. That's the commemorative cover that had been altered. And which was the Rangers slogan in last year's playoff? Number two, it is A, go and take it. Number three, circle the player for whom Jonathan Quick was not traded last year. And that player is D. Number four, which photo is from 2023? Shows two golfers, John Rahm on the left is A, and Scottie Scheffler, B, on the right. It is A, John Rahm. Number five, which headline is fake? Is it A, Major League Baseball bans Tommy Pham for slapping opponent over fantasy football dispute? B, Marcello dropped from Lion first team for farting and laughing in dressing room? Or C, Tom Brady announces performance gummy worms? Do, 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 do. Do, C, Tom Brady announces performance gummy worms. Number six, which team did Rick Hill never play for? Was it A, the Boston Red Sox, B, the Chicago White Sox, C, the Pittsburgh team, or D, the Los Angeles Dodgers? Do, 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 do. The answer is B. He never played for the Chicago White Sox. And C was the Pittsburgh Pirates. Number seven. Which Deion Sanders press conference quote was written by ChatGPT? Was it A? Tonight we show the world what it means to dominate, to conquer, and to leave our opponents in the dust. We played with heart, with swagger, and with the belief that we are unstoppable. Our victory tonight wasn't just a win, it was a statement. And B, we're going to continuously be questioned because we're going to continue to do things that have never been done. That's the way our life has presented itself. We do things that have never been done, and that makes people uncomfortable. Do, 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 do. And the answer? A, how'd you do? Next we have, what if it was all brackets? Nothing beats March Madness. So why is confined to 1 month? Why can't we have June jitters later in the year? And maybe a little February fever in the lead up. November nuttiness. I'm running out of alliterative names, but you get the idea. The NCAA basketball tournament is the most successful concept that hasn't been copied to death. Some sports have gotten close. The UEFA Champions League and the equivalent on other continents has a similar scope, but it starts with a round-robin format instead of a knockout bracket. The NBA just introduced an in-season tournament, but with minimal playoff implication. It lacks stakes. Most sports simply don't have the stomach for a free-for-all. In order to create a bracket even half the size of college basketball's, the NFL and NHL would have to qualify every single team for their playoffs. It was no big deal when the lowly Titans upset the Dolphins at home in last year's regular season. If a 15-seed Titans eliminated a 2-seed Dolphin from the playoffs, however, Florida would invade Tennessee. So what? I'm talking about the hypothetical loss, not the hypothetical invasion. Imagine the fun everyone else would have. Here are two March Madness-style recommendations for other sports, one of which could actually happen. Bowled over. Every year, ESPN creates a 64-team bracket for an imaginary NCAA football tournament, complete with scores. Last year, they projected a 1-point upset for 11-seed Illinois over 6-seed Kentucky. Clearly, college football is the easiest sport to foresee adopting a March Madness-style tournament. Basically, all the same colleges are involved, and there are already a ton of bowl games every season. This system may even be inevitable. The politics of picking just 4 teams had proven fraught, so the college football playoff will expand to 12 schools this coming season. The tournament and the bowl system will always be at odds, however. As is, some of the bowl games have tournament implications, and some are just regular bowl games. The bowl games that are part of the playoff are diminished because they're just preliminary contests for the championship. And the bowl games that aren't part of the playoff have been reduced to a sideshow contests. A 64-team bracket produces 63 games. Last season, there were 43 bowl games. Come up with just 20 more bowls and you can cover the entire field, including the championship. The downside to this approach would be the rigorous 6-bowl schedule for 2 finalists. Players looking to safeguard their NFL draft stock are already eager to opt out of just 1 bowl game. Maybe, however, giving so many teams a shot at the national championship would incentivize more participation. No one's going to sit out the Pop-Tarts Bowl if it means potentially knocking off a number one seed and busting everyone's brackets. Worldly Series. Quick math. There are 30 professional baseball teams and 32 are needed for a bracket. Actually, there are 30 Major League Baseball teams and 120 additional full-season pro teams in the minors. Throw in the 12 teams in the Nippon Professional Baseball, Japan's highest league, and the 10 teams from the Korea Baseball Organization, and there'd only be a need for 12 AAA squads to get to 64. I know what you're thinking. Those 12 minor league teams, along with the last-place Korean and Japanese teams, would be patsies, just there to fill out a bracket. The difference between the worst Korean baseball organization team and the best Major League Baseball team may be greater than the difference between a number 16 and a number 1 seed in college basketball. Baseball, however, has two unique features that create upsets: the starting pitcher and the unpredictability of a batted ball. Last season, the Kamum Heroes were at the bottom of the KBO standings, but the ace of their staff was former Mets and Rangers starter Ariel Jurado, who won 12 games in the major leagues. In 2018, the Astros won 103 games, but on a single day in July, Jurado held them to one run. All it takes is one such performance to ruin brackets. The result would be great for Major League Baseball and solve two long-standing problems. It would share teams that seem content to take an entire season off. Maybe the A's would spend more on payroll to avoid the embarrassment of losing to the Yankees AAA team. And it would make the World Series actually, you know, World Series. Endless madness. For schools that boast good football and basketball teams, the fun would never end. Make time for homework. Culture clash. Japanese players are dominating in Major League Baseball. So why shouldn't Japanese teams get a shot at the World Series? Love makes a family. Fast facts. Christian McCaffrey, in his first full season with San Francisco, McCaffrey scored 21 touchdowns, 14 rushing, and 7 receiving. He added 5 more TDs in the playoffs as the 49ers made it to Super Bowl 58, where they lost to the Chiefs. The 2023 Offensive Player of the Year spent the first 5.5 years of his career with the Panthers. Other fast facts we have in hockey. Number 86, Jack Hughes, New Jersey Devils center. Fast facts. After tallying 99 points last season, Hughes got off to a torrid start in the 2023-24 campaign. He had 17 points in the Devils' first 6 games and continued to play at an elite level, being named a co-captain of one of the NHL's 4 All-Star teams. Through his first 35 games, the 22-year-old who was born in Orlando and raised in Toronto had 16 goals and 31 assists. SI Kids Treehouse, number 25, out on a limb. So we hear, better tell your outfield to back up. Whit, slugger coming to the plate. Outfielders, come in. Outfielders, stand where you want. Buzz hasn't caught up to my fastball all game. Buzz, whack! Thump in the tree. It's out of the park. It's not over the fence. The tree is in play. If the ball was stuck in a branch over the fence, it'd be a homer. But since it's on the other side, Whitney's team can catch it when it falls, and none of these runs would count. It's clearly over the fence. Take the sunglasses off, Beamer. It's 10 feet into the outfield. Time for the old standby. they start throwing things towards the ball. Hurl. This could take us all day. Unless, dash, only those two could make baseball dangerous. Get ready for your ERA to balloon, Kip. I hope Whitney has her glove ready to catch this out. Buzz, don't go any further. Ah, the tree limb breaks. Snap. Well, you were right, Buzz. I did need to move the outfielders back. Bong. Oh, come on. And the ball lands right on the fence. Oh, boy. Is it an out or a homer? Major League Baseball, leaning in. Fresh off a World Series appearance, the Diamondbacks are embracing their role as the good young team no one is talking about. And here are some pictures to show some of them. Back in December, the Yankees pulled off a huge trade, nabbing Juan Soto from the Padres, giving the sport's most iconic franchise one of his best young hitters. 5 days later, the Dodgers blew that news out of the water by signing two-way phenom Shohei Ohtani to a 10-year contract, giving a team that won 100 games last year the best player on the planet. To say that those two stories have dominated the offseason baseball discussion is an understatement. When Ohtani ultimately revealed the name of his dog, Decoy, in December, it was front-page news. So that meant no one is talking about the team that actually, you know, went to the World Series last year, the Rangers and the Diamondbacks. And that's fine with Arizona pitcher Zach Gallen. It's hard to get the World Series and even harder to win the World Series, which is what we found out, he says. So, to not garner the respect can't put a sour taste in your mouth. But I'm always a person that looks for a chip on my shoulder. Anyway, I can find it. So, in that sense, I kind of like it. Gallen, like many of his teammates, came up big in the postseason, winning his starts in the wild card and National League Division Series rounds, and then throwing six no-hit innings in Game 5 of the World Series. But the team almost didn't make it that far. Arizona, which lost 110 games 2 years ago, stormed out of the gate in 2023. By mid-June, the Diamondbacks had a four-game lead in the National League West and were on pace to win 101 games. Then they came back to earth. 2 months later, they were under 500. They snuck into the playoffs as a wild card by a razor-thin margin despite losing their last four games of the season. After two innings of their postseason game, a wild card matchup with the Brewers, they trailed 3-0. Gallen likens it to getting punched in the mouth. Enter Corbin Carroll. The 23-year-old rookie outfielder had spent all season giving the club a jolt of energy. He hit for power, 25 home runs. He hit for average, 285. He made a difference on the base paths, 54 stolen bases, 10 triples. Against Milwaukee, he stepped up with a man on in the top of the third and crushed the Corbin Burns pitch 440 feet, cutting the lead to 1. Second baseman, Ketel Marte, hit the next pitch over the fence, and the Diamondbacks never looked back. You could just see that sense of relief, said Gallen. It was like, we belong here. We can play. We can do some damage. Karen humbly agrees it was a turning point. Being down 3-0, they've got their guy on the mound. I don't think that's necessarily like a super inspiring moment to be in, he says. But as a group, we felt confident we could compete against anyone. And I think that confidence definitely grew over the course of the postseason. It didn't come as a surprise that Carroll was at the heart of Arizona's success. In many ways, he and the 28-year-old Gallen are emblematic of the team. They're young, loose, fun, and really, really good. It's a very chill vibe in here, says Gallen of the Diamondbacks clubhouse. We have different little groups that will do their own thing. We have the guys that play games. We have the guys that like to golf. We've got guys that just like to go out to dinner. But none of these groups are, like, elusive. I'm not really a big gamer, but I can still hang out with those guys. It's a vibe that's conducive to building a solid young team. Last year, Arizona had veteran third baseman Evan Longoria as a steadying presence. This year, the Diamondbacks signed 31-year-old outfielder Jock Pedersen, who has 2 World Series rings. That is a cool dynamic in our clubhouse, where we've got so many guys learning the ropes and trying to establish ourselves as big leaguers, says Carroll. And to be able to bounce ideas and support each other, each kind of similar situations is unique and something that goes back to our time together in the minor leagues. After beating the Brewers in 2 games, Arizona swept the Dodgers, then came back from 2-0 down to beat the Phillies in the National League Championship Series. The Diamondbacks' run ended against the Rangers as they lost the World Series in 5 games. We feel like we still have something left to prove. That last year wasn't a fluke, says Gallen, who has finished in the top 5 in the National League Cy Young voting each of the past 2 seasons. In the offseason, Gallen got a new puppy, an English bulldog named Moose, who is not receiving nearly as much attention as Decoy, despite the fact that he is, by all accounts, a very good boy. If that doesn't put a chip on Gallen's shoulder, nothing will. American League East, the Baltimore Orioles. If you read Skip Shawmore's hot take, you'll know that Baltimore is about to get a new ownership group, and they don't seem shy about shelling out money. Bringing in starter Corbin Burns is a huge move, but the O's can't count on big bucks to bail them out of trouble. Fortunately, Baltimore is a young, hungry team led by the reigning rookie of the year, infielder Gunnar Henderson. As long as these kids remember what allowed them to win 100 games last year before a disappointing American League Division Series, 2 years removed from a 110-loss campaign, they will be a very tough team to topple. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.